Hang on to them hats and glasses, for this here's the wildest podcast at Laughing Place. Hi, I'm Daniel.
And I'm Jonathan, and welcome to the April 12th edition of the Laughing Place podcast.
Today, we have a wild episode lined up for you. We're going to be going over to Theater in the Wild for a preview of the new Nemo musical show. We'll take a wild ride through Everest, talk about the top 10 wildest car chases in Disney film, and even discuss the future of a somewhat wild attraction, the Jungle Cruise.
That sounds pretty wild.
So let's get started with the news.
At Walt Disney World, nearly 400 guest rooms at Disney's All-Star Music Resort are being converted to 192 family suites at the Value Price Resort.
Not to be confused with 192 suites, which probably leave much to be desired.
At Epcot in the fall, the Living Seas will be renamed to The Seas with Nemo and Friends to tie into the new ride. The ride replaces the old Hydrolator and pre-show film and will also utilize the tunnels that the Sea Cab ride used. The attraction will use special effects to create the illusion that Nemo characters are inside the aquarium with the real fish.
And this time, the fish actually will talk.
Square Enix, Inc. and Buena Vista Games, Inc. announced that Kingdom Hearts 2 shipped 1.3 million units to North American retailers since its March 28th ship date last week. It's been reported that Disney's The Chronicles of Narnia sold an estimated 4 million units Tuesday, its first day in stores.
Really got a lion's share of the market there.
On April 11th, the silly old bear Winnie the Pooh received his own star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame. Disney Theatricals Productions has announced it will release a stage version of the Disney Channel's successful TV musical, High School Musical.
I really can't wait to see some community theater try that nearby. I've got to see these, see if any, like, 25-year-olds ever put on this musical like people always do Grease, even into their 40s. It's just one of those things that's very entertaining to watch. And I don't know, it could be interesting to see how the staging and different approaches could change the musical. Who knows, it may end up on Broadway one of these days.
Speaking of Broadway, the undersea world that charmed audiences around the world in the Disney presentation of Pixar's animation studios, Smash It Film Finding Nemo, will come to life in an all-new musical stage show debuting at Disney's Animal Kingdom in late 2006. Featuring original songs by Tony Award-winning Avenue Q composer Robert Lopez and a cappella musical Along the Way composer Kristen Anderson Lopez. Finding Nemo the musical will immerse Walt Disney World guests in the story of Marlin and Nemo, an overprotective clownfish father and his curious son, through a dazzling production that combines puppets, dancers, acrobats, and animated backdrops. The show represents the first time Disney has taken a non-musical animated feature and transformed it into an original musical production. It will be presented in the newly enclosed Theater in the Wild.
And now, let's take a listen at one of the songs that will be featured in the new Finding Nemo the Musical.
Hey Dad, wouldn't it be cool if I maybe met a shark when I'm in school?
Thank you. St. John's.
What?
You don't want to be a swordfish. You don't want to be a whale.
I want to be a whale.
You need me around to watch your tail. In the big blue world, just a little bit.
Today's trivia question is, what Disney theme park attraction achieves the wild speed of 65 miles per hour? The answer is coming up.
And now it's time for Armchair Imagineering, where we put on our sorcerer hats and come up with interesting ideas for theme park destinations around the world. Today's week's topic is the Jungle Cruise, a very interesting attraction that time has somewhat passed by, and so a lot of the spiels rely on making fun of the attraction more than going along with the attraction. So it is interesting to consider what should be done to keep it up to date, or if they should rethink it or whatnot. So enough of the introduction, let's get on with the comments that we have posted on our boards. First we have DisneyMom443, who says, I love this attraction the way it is. If they made it serious or educational, it would not be the same, maybe even a little boring. Next we have Schnebs, who says, I have no problem with Jungle Cruise being updated. The park's not a museum, and as long as we're getting a new and better experience, it's a good thing. I think any upgrade should be done with a humorous touch, much like the scenes that Mark Davis came up with that were added in the 60s and 70s. A redo of the Jungle Cruise with a more serious tone really isn't going to work for a lot of folks after the Disney folks have had their tongues firmly in cheek for so long. Next we have M. Richmond J. I think they could advance the show elements on the Jungle Cruise without losing the essence of the classic attraction. There have been so many improvements in animatronics that could be incorporated in the Jungle Cruise scenes. NITeach says, the updates that they did at Disneyland for 2005 were great, and that's how it's possible to improve on this classic ride. Finally, we have our own Doobie of Laughing Place, who says, I like the Jungle Cruise as it is. Because it relies on the skipper for its entertainment as much or more than the show itself, it's one attraction that can pretty much remain the same and still seem different each time you do it. I would hate to see that essence go away. As much as I'm in favor of changing pretty much everything, even the classics like Pirates and the Train, the Jungle Cruise would be at the very bottom of my list. So it seems the general consensus among all of our listeners is that they really would not like the tone change to a more serious attraction, and I would have to say I agree with that. I think that the tone is just about right with it keeping humorous, because it doesn't really need to become Kilimanjaro Safaris on water. I just don't think that is necessary for the Magic Kingdom.
Although, I really think they should upgrade the animatronic technologies, but that's more of just a, rather than a story change, I think it's just more of the fact to keep it up to date in the sense that the scenes are the same, they just are different because they look bigger and better than they have before. So rather than, you know, completely change, overhaul, I don't think an overhaul would necessarily be the best, but more just keeping it up to date technology-wise.
An interesting question to ask is that should the humor come more from the show scenes themselves or from the skipper on the boat? For example, you have plenty of show scenes like the Trap Safari where all of the people are up on the pole and the rhino has chased them up there, which is just a very funny scene that the skipper can embellish upon. But then you have other scenes that are not particularly very humorous, like the hippos attacking you, and yet the skipper can also make jokes about that. Should more of the scenes be funny just in general than the skipper can embellish on them? Or do you think the idea of the skipper kind of making fun with the audience about what's going on is the better option of the two?
Well, I'd say that if the scene is already funny as it is, it probably reflects better on the attraction itself. Because in most cases, if they're making jokes about something that's not particularly funny, usually it's not exactly in particularly good taste in some ways. You know, here are the plastic crocodiles over there and everything. So you have to watch out because, you know, you can't exactly control they're not under control in some cases. So if it is just more amusing, I think it just reflects better on the attraction overall. So you could either get it funny already, or you could get it really funny if you get the right person with you. Well, also another thing is that I think it would probably be best to also stay away from anything that's too staged, if you quite understand that. Because, you know, the Trap Safari, it's not like there's a particular cue or some sort of special effect you have to see all the time, you know. Like, for the piranhas, I'm not sure if there's really much of a thing yet you could do. I think usually the humor comes across better when it's not really anything too weird to look at. You know what I'm saying? It's kind of confusing, but you get what I'm saying here?
I'm thinking what you're saying is that if something is already really exciting to look at and then they're trying to make jokes on it, it kind of diminishes the point of the scene and diminishes the attraction.
Basically, yeah. I'm very long-winded, but yeah, there you go.
The problem that I have with the Jungle Cruise in terms of the way it's been handled recently is it seems that people don't really know in the job what to do with it. Can you be a stand-up comedian and not even reference? I mean, I was on the Jungle Cruise when I was at Disneyland this past trip, and a lot of the references had absolutely nothing to do with the jungle. People were referencing Star Tours and the Country Bear Jamboree, and it wasn't necessarily a travesty, but on the other hand, should the Jungle Cruise be treated just as a vehicle for a cast member to just have fun with Disney in general and have fun with the guests, and the rest of it becomes kind of background? Or should the scenes themselves be interesting enough that that's what they play off of? That's more what I'm getting at. And I think that, honestly, it should be more about the skipper playing up the scenes. And if the scenes aren't interesting enough that skippers don't feel they have enough to work with, then work on more interesting scenes like they did with the piranhas and the monkeys. And, you know, keep it interesting enough to where it doesn't rely on the skipper to keep it entertaining. Because when you rely on the skipper too much, you're going to end up putting them out on a limb, and they're going to go all kinds of on weird tangents to keep the audience entertained that have nothing to do with the jungle, apparently.
There's not really too much you could do about that, though, when it comes to keeping the same ride intact. So you either keep the sort of general atmosphere of the original ride, or you take away some of the skipper's privileges in a way. So either way, you'd probably wind up losing.
I don't know if you have to take away the skipper's privileges too much. I think there's a fine line between having fun and enjoying the attraction and even being a little bit tongue-in-cheek, and some of the more cynical type comments I've heard, and just off the wall. I mean, to me, when I went on the Jungle Cruise last time and somebody ended up doing an entire Star Tours reference that lasted from Schweitzer Falls to the African Veldt, it just seemed very indulgent on the skipper's behalf. And yeah, some of the guests enjoyed it, but it's pretty pointless. He could have done that anywhere on any attraction. It had nothing to do with the Jungle Cruise. Now, if you can make a clever comment about the show scene, like, you know, there's Ganesha and over there is her sidekick Bob, which is kind of silly, but at least it has something to do with the ride, I think that's more what they should encourage skippers to do. I mean, of course, on paper, they're really supposed to be sticking to script anyway, so.
Somebody should really just write, you know, the Skipper Bible. You must not do this.
Well, I think that if they had more options for the skippers to choose in the first place, you wouldn't see so many people going off on these weird tangents. I mean, you would still, but not as much. They only have a few alternative jokes, and a lot of the ones that are pretty common, like even the most people think it's sandstone. I mean, it's sandstone, but most people just take it for granted. Is not even in the script, and it's something that everybody uses, and it's a cute line, and there's nothing inappropriate about it. And because you have lines like that that everybody uses, people start to, it's almost like a slippery slope, and then they kind of go off, and then who knows where they're going to end up. I've heard some very strange things, especially in California. It seems like in Florida, with the turnaround of the college program, people, they don't quite get as crazy as they get in California. So in the end, I think that a script that allows for more flexibility on paper, even beyond just, you know, kind of being loose with the rules, as well as interesting show scenes that give the skippers more material to work with, I think that would lead to a Jungle Cruise that still maintains the atmosphere of it being in a jungle and not so much of a platform for a wannabe stand-up comedian.
Would you change anything when it comes to the boats system, or perhaps incorporating it to be even sort of a little bit more exciting at all? Or would you want to just keep it where more different scenes, so skippers could utilize different material? Or would you just, you know, would you want to beef it up in any other way besides that?
I think the ride system right now could be improved upon in terms of just capacity. Getting in and out of those boats does take a lot of time, and it could have a higher capacity otherwise. But beyond that, I think the ride system works well, and I think the basic premise still works well. I just think that, yeah, pretty much what you said, that they should update some of the show scenes. Maybe even add a little more random nature to it, like add some scenes that different things can happen, so the skippers have to stay alert and react, and that would lead to them not, you know, getting as bored, because obviously if you do the same script over and over again, you are going to get bored. So things like that would help change it up. And also just encouraging skippers maybe to take on a character or something like that. I mean, they maybe should be casting, if they're going to keep it as a skipper focused attraction, maybe they should be casting people more like the atmosphere entertainers, and make sure that they can have different characters, maybe even allow them to bring in their own little costume pieces so that they can make it interesting. Cause you can read the same lines over and over again, but if you're able to take different approaches with them, like as the nerdy scientist or the scared of everything person and the whatever, if you can change up your characters like that, that would also keep it fresh for the cast members. So there's different ways of doing that. Well, that concludes our Armchair Imagineering discussion. Thanks to everyone for all of your comments posted on the boards. They're all very interesting. Next week, we have the Flower and Garden Festival beginning at Epcot. So we're going to talk about Epcot and actually discuss a ride concept for the World Showcase. While the World Showcase does have plenty of attractions and a couple of rides, it doesn't have as many rides as Future World, and I think that leads to a unbalanced viewpoint in terms of, if you probably took a poll on the average day, there's probably a lot less people at World Showcase in the daytime until the evening when they're having dinner and illuminations. So I think they could balance out the park with some rides. So if you have any suggestions, you can email us at podcast@laughingplace.com, or you can call us at 1-866-327-5072. If you're under 18 years of age, please make sure you have your parents or guardians' permission before calling. Or if you'd like, you can just post in the podcast section on the laughingplace.com discussion boards. We'd be happy to hear from you. And now for a new segment where we highlight the updates recently from the Virtual Magic Kingdom website.
VMK has opened its Tomorrowland section with lots of new rooms to explore. Among the attractions depicted are Adventures Through Inner Space, Space Mountain, 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea, and the Submarine Voyage in Autopia. VMK has also added online quests similar to those found in the parks. If you solve the 3 quests in Tomorrowland, you'll be granted access into the Shrinking Microscope, where you'll find the newly relocated Tomorrowland store, where you could buy your own online quest engine that you may use to create quests for other players. The quest engine is 20,000 credits, the highest priced item on VMK thus far. Starting on April 17th, VMK hosts will begin their own quest from 5:30 to 8:30 p.m. Pacific Time. On the VMK website, you may also download and print 2 new in-park quests. There was one for Disneyland Resort and one for the Walt Disney World Resort.
Hi, I'm Mouseketeer Don Grady, and you're reading LaughingPlace.com.
Expedition Everest has officially opened at Disney's Animal Kingdom. Vice President of Disney's Animal Kingdom, Dr. Beth Stevens, is confident that the ride will broaden the park's scope.
This is a park all about animals, real, imaginary, and extinct. And when you think about it, we opened with the real and the extinct animals, and this is really helping to fill out that original vision.
This is a fabulous attraction, and it combines this runaway, thrilling train ride through the Himalayan mountains with a really frightening encounter with a Yeti. And this Yeti is probably the most highly engineered Yeti that the Walt Disney Imagineers have ever put together.
How technically complex is the Yeti? Just ask the Disney Imagineers who were involved in the creation of the attraction.
Technically, this Yeti figure that we've built is an amazing tour de force of animation technology. I don't think Imagineering's ever done anything like this before. First of all, it's huge. And the forces involved in moving this Yeti are equivalent to the forces that move a 747 jet.
It is a large mechanical device that moves very smoothly. You see that hair flowing and the teeth and the eyes glowing. You're convinced. You're absolutely convinced.
If we were to bring our Yeti to life, it would have the characteristics it would need to survive in this rugged, harsh, cold environment. You know, it has the thick fur. It's got these big feet to help it walk through the snow. It can stand erect, which allows it to go for higher things up in the trees.
Not just the Yeti is realistic, but the entire experience down to the queue.
As you walk through our village here at Sirkazong, you are in the Himalayas, and that's what we want you to be. We want you to be in the Himalayas on this adventure, taking your first expedition up to Mount Everest.
We use paints, acrylic paints, or sometimes oil paints, and put multiple washes on the buildings, sort of degrading the surface to wear away some of the chroma or the glow of the original paint to sort of give it a weathered look.
A lot of the wood details that you see around us, be it columns or windows, are actually they're authentic wood carvings that are from Nepal and that area, and we've bought them as new in most cases, and then we've aged them to take them back a couple of hundred years.
We go, you know, with as many people as we can, and we obsessively take photographs, but also pay attention and discuss what is it like here, what really gives this place the sense of what it's like.
In the end, though, Expedition Everest's main goal is to entertain the entire family.
Our goal is just that people have a great time. Some people will have a great time because they rode a great train attraction through the mountains, period. Some people will have a great time reading every single tiny bit of written text on everything, all of which is custom researched and written, right?
At Animal Kingdom, it's going to have a tremendous impact. It's a brand new attraction. It is fabulously themed. It's telling a story. And when you get on that train and you go on that experience, you're going to be thrilled, you're going to be shocked, you're going to be scared probably, and you're going to have a great time.
You saw this Yeti coming at you. I was a little nervous, but I knew I was in Disney, so I knew I was safe.
It looked like you were going to go upside down. It was really cool. And that was really fun going down backwards.
Yeah. Yes, yes, definitely go again.
Fantastic ride. Disney doesn't do anything halfway. It's a good addition to Animal Kingdom. They needed another really exciting ride, and they've done that here.
When I opened my eyes at the end and I saw the Yeti, I was like, ah! I screamed at the top of my lungs.
This week in Disney history. April 14th marks the 22nd anniversary of the opening of the newly refurbished Alice in Wonderland ride at Disneyland. April 15th marks the 33rd anniversary of the opening of the Walt Disney Story at the Magic Kingdom. On April 15th, Tokyo Disneyland will celebrate its 23rd anniversary. Tokyo Disneyland was the first Disney theme park to open outside the United States. April 16th marks the 5th anniversary of the opening of Animal Kingdom Lodge at Walt Disney World.
The trivia question was, what Disney theme park attraction achieves the wild speed of 65 miles per hour? The answer is Test Track. Today's top 10 list is the top 10 wildest car chases. start off at number 10, it's the Shaggy Dog.
Hey, you mangy cur, come back with my car!
He was the shaggiest dog I ever met.
Number 9, Toy Story 2.
I think the one thing that puts this car chase over the top is the three-eyed aliens hanging from the mirror. That's a great touch.
Number 8, the finale car chase of the Computer War Tennis Shoes.
With the old, let's throw the paint cans at the car trick.
Yeah, they got orange paint and they end in a stack of hay and there's guns and yeah, whew. Got it all in one awesome package. Number 7, the Million Dollar Duck Car Chase.
Which features the ever-popular, let's go up a parking garage so we're completely cornered trick.
But to top it off, they've got the big truck with the ladder, the cherry picker truck, with the guy on top with Dean Jones hanging. Yeah. I think that's the key over-the-topness of that. Number 6, the National Treasure Car Chase.
Also featuring people dangling above the road. It seems to be a common theme in these chases. If they're not exciting enough, just throw somebody over the road and you're guaranteed to have a white knuckle scene.
And throw in Nicolas Cage. Yeah. Number 5, the Now You See Him, Now You Don't car chase.
Attention all cars. Bank robbers now headed south on Osborne Street near 10th. In an invisible car.
An invisible what, Sarge?
You heard me. I said invisible car. Now, there's a bunch of kids in a dune buggy that's probably tailing them right now. When you see them close in, out. That's a problem with the department. No imagination.
Very unique from the fact that they are chasing an invisible car. That adds an extra touch and also adds a lot of cool special effects, like when the tires screech and you see the dust at Griffith Park. It's a pretty cool chase, actually.
Number 4, North Avenue Irregulars. Pretty much that whole movie is a car chase.
Get closer, watch out for that car! Get your hands off the wheel! There's a lady, look out! Look what you did!
And ironically enough, I think it's about the only movie on this list that the car chase isn't a little bit far-fetched in terms of it actually somewhat has to do with the plot line specifically, and they couldn't have gotten away with it otherwise.
Number 3, Freaky Friday.
The movie definitely has its jump the shark moment, although in this case it's a jump through the flaming hoop on water skis moment, but that whole car chase with the poor police officers getting their cars beat up is rather depressing. What is up with police cars in Disney movies anyway? You feel sorry for the police department because more cars have been totaled in Disney movies than it's just crazy.
Number 2, the finale of No Deposit, No Return.
Once again, the poor police cars. Although this one has just about all the elements. They have fish, they have fruit, they have crates, they have a magnet, and basically you're just watching a car get demolished piece by piece.
And now, number 1, the wildest of wildest wild car chases. Number 1, the Gnomobile car chase.
They're with us again.
Well, let's see how they are on cornering. Hold tight, everybody.
Whee, I take it all back, Grandfather. This is some car.
It's the one that started them all, and unfortunately didn't end them all either.
Basically, again, you see a car lose everything.
Although having Richard Deacon in the car makes the scene much more entertaining, which is one reason why I think it made number 1. Well, that brings our wild episode of the Laughing Place podcast to its conclusion.
Remember? Okay. So if you have any questions, comments, suggestions, free money, whatever, you could call us at 1-866-327-5072 or 2 of Ask Zero Paw, if you remember the first episode. Yeah, loyal people. Or you can email us at podcast@laughingplace.com or post in the podcast section of the Laughing Place discussion boards.
And remember, if you're under 18 years of age, please make sure you have your parents or guardians' permission before calling. And now, Jonathan, with the last words.
Rat's dessert, a sinking Matterhorn.
Goodbye.
See ya.